My name is Andrew, and I'm one of the members of the 1030 congregation here. It's great to see you, whether or not you're on holiday. But if you were on holiday a long, long time ago in Israel, the guy who wrote this psalm you would have got to meet when you went to the temple. His name was Asaph, and he was a temple worship leader. He helped the people by writing songs and helping them sing songs to the Lord. And for a moment, I want you to imagine that this is X Factor. Maybe a bit hard. Have you heard of X Factor? Some of you have, most of you have, maybe. X Factor is a kind of singing contest, and Asaph would have been a brilliant singer. So imagine that he goes on X Factor, and you have a 1000 BC Simon Cowell sitting there. Okay, and here we go. Imagine that. Okay, next. Hi, can we have your name, please? Hi, yeah, my name is Asaph. What's your job? I'm a worship leader at the tabernacle. Okay, Asaph, what are you going to sing for us? Well, I thought I'd sing something I learned in my childhood, actually. Okay, Asaph, take it away. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Asaph, do you mind trying that from the top and do it a bit differently? See if you can do something different. Here we go. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Well, Asaph, you can sing in tune. Well, I'm not sure if you can sing in tune, Asaph, but you can sing in tune, roughly. And the tune's not bad. But Asaph, the question is, do you really mean it? Do you really mean it, Asaph? Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. You see, that was Asaph's big problem. He was singing, but he wasn't really sure about the words he was singing. He'd been told from a young age that God is good, and is good to Israel, good to his people. But Asaph wasn't really sure. Was God really all that good? Is it really worth it following the Lord Jesus? I mean, nowadays, the thing is that you can compare everything. That's the wonder of the internet. You can go to sites like Compare the Market, and you can, let's find out about holidays or cars or dishwashers, whatever it is. You can find out which one is the best, where you can get it cheapest, and you can go and get it as long as they haven't sold out because everyone else has gone and done the same thing and they've bought that one too. You can compare everything, but you don't just compare your appliances and your getaways. You can compare your lives. That's what Facebook and Twitter help us to do, whether we like it or not. We have a continual stream of pictures of people's holidays and restaurants and all the great things their children are doing on holiday and all the great places they've gone and what their houses are like. And we might be there thinking, well, did I really make the right decision to follow Jesus all those years ago? Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, well, I've definitely made the right decision. I'm not following Jesus. Thought I'd come along today, but not for me, thanks. I've got it sorted without. That was what Asaph was thinking as he looked out at the people coming past. Have a look at verse 2. We're in Psalm 73, and we're on page 586. So do open that up if you shut it, and have a look at verse 2. Asaph says, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." You see, Asaph was thinking, is it really worth it? And perhaps for some of us here today, we're thinking, well, I'm not really sure I can keep going with this. Is it really worth it at all? Jesus says, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So that is a big thing, Jesus, you're asking me to do. And there are lots of other ways to live. But have a look, if you've got the Bible open, have a look at verse 28. And at the end, Asaph says this, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." At the end, Asaph thinks, yeah, it's worth it. And I pray that as we go through this psalm, we'll be able to see why he thinks it's worth it. And then we'll be able to hold on to that this week and tell others that God is good. Now, I'm going to pray in a minute. Let me just say, kids, it's lovely. You're staying with us today, and Katie has some sheets for you. So I'll pray, and then we'll give Katie a chance to hand out those sheets in just a moment, and then we'll get going, okay? Let me pray. Father in heaven, we know that you speak, and we want to listen. We've asked that you might speak to us, O Lord, and work in our hearts. And we pray that you do that, and be pleased to hear us and make us more like Jesus. And we ask in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. So Casey's going to hand out sheets. If you need a sheet, just put up your hand and grab a sheet. Adults, if you want, on those same, on some of the kids' sheets, I've put a kind of a sermon outline on the back. So if you want one of those, just put up your hand and grab one. There are not that many kids here today. Well, it's lovely to have you if you are small and here. Just give you a moment. And Katie, there's a... Yeah, just on a couple of minutes. I'm going to make a start. So Asaph's concern is it really worth it? And I'm going to give us three sections as we look through this psalm. And the first I've called the wealth of the wicked. The wealth of the wicked. And if you're following along in the Bibles, it's kind of verses 4 through to 12. See, Asaph really wants us to feel his problem. He's very honest with the Lord. He's very honest about what he sees. And this is what he says. Look, there are really healthy, happy people. Have a look at verses 4 and 5. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. And they are not plagued by human ills. Now, what Asaph is saying is, you get these people and they have bodies like one of those Olympic athletes. Don't look at me. Imagine Usain Bolt, someone like that. Strong and fit. Their minds are super sharp and clever. They are not plagued by human ills. What he means is, they don't get sick. They don't get cancer. They don't get redundancy. They don't get disappointments or anxieties or stress. They don't have problems with their mental health. They've just got it all sorted. Maybe you think that doesn't sound very much like me. Getting up in the morning is a bit of a struggle for me. But these guys, Asaph says, they've got it all sorted. They're healthy and they're happy. And you might say, well, they're going to be really thankful people and they're going to be really generous people. But Asaph says, no. They are proud and they are violent, Asaph says. Imagine that you get the nicest clothes you can. And you put them on, well, their designer clothes are covered with a necklace of pride. Because they're there thinking, well, well done me. Look how well I'm doing all by myself. I've got it all. I'm sorted. And they don't just have pride on. It says that they've got like a jacket of violence. When they see other people, they're like, yeah, I don't want anything to do with you. Get away from me. They are violent towards people. Pride and violence is what covers them. They're horrid. So they're happy and they're healthy and they're horrid. And they don't just stay where they are. They go after other people's stuff. Have a look at the next verses. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. That's like evil. Their evil imagination have no limits. They scoff and speak malice with arrogance. They threaten oppression. Don't come near me. I'll get my lawyer to sort you out. Don't come near me. I'll get my bodyguard to sort you out. Don't come near me. I want your stuff. They're horrid. And they don't just deal with stuff on earth. Look at the next verse. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. They want it all. And you know what Asaph says to the Lord? Lord, they've got it all without you. They're doing just fine. They've got the shiny car. They've got the big house. They've got the holiday home. They've got the suntan. They've got beautiful kids, beautiful wife, healthy, happy, educated. They've got the lot. But what do they think of God? God? We don't have time for God. God? What does he know? Do you really think there's a God? Church? No, thanks. I've got the tennis club. I've got the golf club. We've got some 100 people coming round to ours for a barbecue this afternoon. I thought we'd prep that. Won't take long. Just got some caterers in. All sorted. No problems. Now listen, Asaph is not telling us about them to think, oh, well, look how holy we are. We're not like that. No, Asaph is saying, God, look, they've got it all. That is the wealth of the wicked. And Asaph is honest. We need to be honest too. Often we're looking out there and think, oh, I'd like it if it was a bit easier, Lord. That is the wealth of the wicked. He looks on them. The next part, though, is called the facts of the future. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through to 17. Okay. The facts of the future. I wonder if you have ever had, or maybe you know someone who had, laser eye surgery. Okay? That kind of surgery that you can't see very well, it's all a bit misty, and then the doctors laser your eyes, and shortly afterwards, apparently, as you can tell, I haven't had it done, because I don't think they do that, but they do something to your eyes, and then shortly afterwards, you can see really well, and you get clear vision. Well, in this part of the psalm, Asaph goes from being really frustrated with the prosperity of the wicked to suddenly seeing things very differently. And I want us to see how he does that. First of all, look, he is really frustrated. Verse 13, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. What Asaph's saying is, look, Lord, I've been serving you all this time and trying to go your way, but it's in vain. It's not worth it. All day long, I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. What he's saying is basically, every morning that I try and live for Jesus, people are rude to me, things don't work out very well. Perhaps this morning you were trying to get up ready for church, and you're thinking, Lord, this is just such a struggle. I've got kids, and the kids have put their shoes on the wrong feet, or they just won't get out of bed. And all the other neighbours, they're just having a nice lie-in. Is it really worth it? That's how Asaph feels. Or maybe you think, Lord, I'm really trying to serve you, and I was going to drive to this place and help someone, and now the car's exploded. What's that about, Lord? Asaph is saying, is it really worth it? But then something happens. Hold on. Verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. Asaph saying, okay, I'm quiet about this. I'm not saying it to everyone else. I'm not shouting it out. But Lord, this is a real problem. And when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. He can't work it out till, verse 17, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Now, this is the thing we have to get. This is the facts of the future. Asaph goes to the sanctuary of God. That was like inside the temple, the place where God's people met with him. And it's when Asaph goes there, he realizes something. When people went there, what happened was they came and they brought an animal to be sacrificed, because to come to the holy God requires a sacrifice to pay for your sin. And the sacrifice was made so that the people could be friends with God. And as Asaph looks on what's happening in the sanctuary, he realizes God is holy and sin will be paid for. God is just. And he puts that together and he realizes that there is a future judgment. Now, we don't talk about that much here in our culture, but it is true. In the 9 o'clock service, we said the creed together, and there we say, Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. That means that everyone, the living people and the people who have died, will be judged. And that judgment is forever. It's not like at the Olympics, if you're a really good runner, you run really fast and you win a gold medal and you go up and you get a gold medal. But then 4 years later, it's all going to change because someone else is going to win. God's judgment, Jesus' judgment of everyone will be forever. Those are the facts of the future. That there is a future judgment, and it is a future forever. And when Asaph sees that, then suddenly all these people who are wealthy and happy and strong, they have everything sorted. He suddenly realizes, oh Lord, they have not got it all sorted. Have a look at the next verses. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Let me tell you about Willow Farm. I guess some of you have been to Willow Farm, but not all of you. Willow Farm is like a children's activity centre. It's a farm with an activity play area inside. It's about 10 miles that way. It's great. And my kids have been there. And there are some massive slides at Willow Farm. And I want to tell you that Noah, who is 2, loves going down what is called the rainbow slide. And the thing with the rainbow slide is you sit on it on a mat, and it's a bit gradual at the start because you've got to inch forward and then you just go off like that. Now, Olivia loves what I call the red slide. And I wouldn't recommend you go on the red slide, because the red slide is seriously scary. Because it's probably about 5 meters up, and then you kind of sit on the edge. I don't think it's really a slide, it's basically a drop, and you're like, you just sit on the edge of something and then you just whoosh, and you drop about 4 meters, and then it levels out so you don't break yourself on the bottom and you go super fast. But the sad thing is, for these people who look healthy and wealthy and strong and secure, that there will be a day when they stand before the Lord and it will be like gone, like a slippery slope, just over. All the cars and houses and bank accounts stuffed full of cash. It's no use on that day. There is a future judgment, and the people who look so strong and secure will be like dreams. Gone. When you wake up, oh, what was that dream? Oh, I can't remember it anymore. Sure, it was there for a minute. No, gone. And that is tragic. And it completely changes Asaph's perspective, because all those things he really loved and longed for, he suddenly realizes it's not going to last. The wealth of the wicked, the facts of the future. Let me talk to you quickly about the portion of the pure, because it's not all bad news. Asaph's perspective has changed, but suddenly he sees what does last and what is wonderful and true. Have a look at verses 21 onwards. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. Hold me by my right hand. Let me explain that bit. Asaph saying, I was a bit like a brute beast. Well, another word for it would be like a hippopotamus or a cow. And he's not saying, I was large like a hippopotamus, like Asaph was singing like... No, what he means when he says, I was a brute beast before you, is he saying, I don't know, have you ever tried to have a conversation with a cow? Don't try a conversation with a hippo. But if you try a conversation with a cow, it just doesn't work because they're not interested. They're so busy eating the grass. And Asaph's saying, I was so busy looking at the wicked and all their wealth, I forgot the Lord who was with me. I forgot the one who sustains me. And yet God is patient. Do you see? Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Last night, one of my kids was scared and came to me and I held on to their hand. I said, it's okay. And God does that for us. By his Spirit, he holds us. Maybe today or these days are days when you really want someone holding your hand. Well, he is with us by his Spirit. We know the Lord of glory. I'll let Adam turn his phone off. Good job. God is with us. You guide me with your counsel, verse 24, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Yes, we have his presence now, and one day we will be with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And there will be no more of the pains of this life, of the tears of this life. And that is the thing that lasts. The Lord is the one that lasts. He is the everlasting God. So Asaph can say, who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. You see, do you remember the wicked? They're just running around trying to get as much stuff as they can from the earth and even want some of heaven. But Asaph can say, knowing God is enough. My God is enough. And if all my stuff is taken, and if the car crashes, and they're all gone, and it's just me, still my God is enough. He will hold my hand. He will keep me and guide me and take me into glory. It's not that we don't love people. It's not that we don't enjoy the things of this world. But in the end, he is enough. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, all our bodies will fail. There will be a day when the hospital comes. And the bank balances don't work then. And the cars, they might drive you fast to the hospital, but that will be it. But there is one who can take us through death. There is one who is everlasting and who holds his children and will keep his children. And he is the strength of our heart. He is our portion forever. It is worth it to be with him. We're going to finish. But one last thing to say. It may be you're sitting there thinking, well, fine, Andrew, I kind of get it. You're saying, Don't live for just now, because the Lord is enough. God will keep us and give us all we need and one day take us to glory. But why does he bother doing this? I mean, come on, man. Why is it that the wicked prosper? Why couldn't you just sort them out now? Then I'd be happier. Well, let me put it like this. You see, the way I called it was the portion of the pure. And the point is, just like Asaph, none of us are really pure in heart. We all have broken hearts. No matter how much I say it, I guess we're going to go away with doubts about how good God is. And God, in his patience and mercy, has allowed a time when the judgment and justice on wickedness is held back. And why did he do that? Well, he did that so that one man, the perfect man, the Lord Jesus, could walk into this broken world and face up to the violence and oppression of the wealthy wicked. Not to beat them, but to beat death through his defeat to them. And in dying, take the punishment that we deserved for being part of that wicked team. So that anyone who trusts in that risen Lord, who will come to judge the living and the dead, can enjoy his portion, the portion of the pure, can be part of his everlasting kingdom. Asaph finishes, "Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you." And that is true. And that means we need to go out and reach out to those who desperately need this message. No matter how big their house, doesn't matter. They need this message. But as for me, it is good to be near God. Because no matter what you don't have, if you have him, he is enough. "I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Let me pray. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We praise you, Father, that you are enough. You are our sufficiency. You are our life and joy and peace. Forgive us when we're so quick to be attached to gadgets or bank accounts. And please help us to cling to you and know you. And we ask that you would have mercy on many in Potter's Bar and beyond who are clinging on to other things. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.